let's move over to your like other side of your life, because you know, get the whole voiceover, but you're also a musician here.
Yep.
Living in Nashville?
I live in Nashville. I fell in love with Nashville about 12 years ago. I had the opportunity to record with Peter Frampton, who produced one of my records in Nashville. And after spending some time down there and working in the creative environment down there, I thought, you know, this is a great place for me professionally. And also, it's a great place to raise your family. It's just a really good, solid community. And yeah, so I toured with Ringo Starr and the All-Star Band. I toured with Leonard Skinner. I toured with Frampton, with my band. And yeah, you know, that's kind of what I did long before I did the voiceover work. And actually, I tied them in because when the first Pokemon movie came out, you know, and we were on tour with Ringo Starr. Actually, we were on tour with Frampton then. They still wouldn't play our music on the radio because we were an independent band. And I said, well, you interview, and they're like, yeah, that's why we called you. And I said, well, you can interview the voices of Pokemon if you play my music. And they did. So, you know, my two worlds collided.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because you haven't run any, like, you know, ballads about Rob, his many attempts at love.
No, I mean, I haven't written that stuff. So, I mean, I wrote one song on Heart of the Cards on a Yu-Gi-Oh! Thing done as pretty much Seto Kaiba, only because that was something that they were putting out this record and they wanted to do something that involved the characters. But I don't usually sit down and say, how can I really, I mean, if I was really a music whore, you know, with this stuff, I would put out an album that Brock sings, and I would put out an album that James sings, but that just doesn't make any sense to me. It's also, that's not why I do both things. The cartoon stuff is fun, and it is definitely a way to, you know, earn a living without having to dig a ditch. Even if you dig a ditch, I don't think that's a bad job, but you know what I mean. And then the music side, it's like, you know, that's really my passion. It's like, if I've never... You know, as long as I can play music for people, it's not so much that I need to make $1 million doing that. That's why I've always had voiceover work as the way to do it. I mean, when I toured with Ringo, my contract basically was maximum exposure. You know, it was, you want to play in front of 50,000 people a night? Yeah. Okay, well, then you can do that. How do you finance that? Well, you say, no, I can't afford to tour. I can't afford to put my band on the road, even though we're offered a gig like this. No. You go and you find another way to earn a living, which is, for me, voiceover.
You're doing more conventions now.
Yeah, well, now that I live in Nashville, I don't fly. I haven't been in a plane in about 10 years. I'm a driver. I love to get in the car, and I'll do at least, you know, 7 hours maximum is kind of my, you know, my circumference that I'll do. But living in New York, it was a little harder to get away to the rest of the country.
Just 2 hours to get out.
Right, exactly. Just the Holland Tunnel alone. But the other thing was that for me to have all that stuff going on in New York, I couldn't take off those Fridays. I couldn't take off those Mondays. Now I'm self-employed. This is what I do. I'm a full-time singer-songwriter, full-time voiceover actor. I'm not directing. I don't have a staff job doing that right now, which is fine. So now I can do that, and I can use Nashville as a central hub to, you know, I'm doing one in Ohio, I'm doing one in Florida, I'm doing one in, you know, and I can get to those places. And it's also, you know, it's a nice way to meet the fans and see some of the costumes that they do. I'm always impressed with the way, you know, these kids spend so much time recreating the stuff. And I know it's not easy, and I know it's not cheap, and some of them have to, you know, repurpose things to make the stuff, and I'm impressed with that. So it's kind of fun.
So what are some of the really impressive costumes that you've seen?
I saw, what's the character from, was it Big Daddy? Is that the one from the video game?
BioShock.
Yeah, I saw someone do a full BioShock Big Daddy thing at MTech. I was like, wow. I mean, just unbelievable. And you see some of the guys, you know, I've seen some good Boba Fett and things like that, that's done, you know, the metal work. I'm always impressed when someone says, oh yeah, I took this old, screen and then I used this piece of like a tire iron and I cut this wheel in half and, you know, and it looks just like it. Or some of the moldings that they do. I mean, some of the weapons. I mean, to have that kind of patience. I hate to paint. You know, I find that, like, that's the most monotonous thing because I don't have the patience to let it dry. I want to put the room back together. And these guys or girls who make these swords and, you know, or weapons and have spent the time, you know, oh, it took me 7 hours to cut this one scroll by hand. It's like, you know, I'm impressed.
Well, and you see some impressive people doing your characters.
I saw at MTech, I saw Brock and Officer Jenny as a couple. They walked by me and she looked just like Officer Jenny. It was frightening. And, you know, I mean, what's nice about the Pokemon characters, unless you're dressing up as a Pokemon, the humans are not the most difficult. I mean, you're talking about a couple of, you know, some clothing things and maybe some hair with the Team Rocket stuff. But I've seen some great Team Rockets as well. I mean, it still requires skill, but it's more about the, you know, just finding the right colors and things like that. Whereas some of the other shows where people have to build giant weapons, or they have to, there's a girl that's walking around with this snake that she's created around her neck. It's like, that's a lot of time. And I think it's easier to do the shows, or even Kaiba's got cool jackets and things, but you don't have to build his plane, you know? You could. I'm sure if someone did a small little miniature of that, as if it was perspective based over his shoulder, that would be kind of cool. Right? Hanging on a wire.
And I think back in that small music, that big thing,
yep.
How fun is that?
That was fun. I've got to say that it was, I didn't know how that was going to go over, because I don't play anime rock. I play my own original stuff, and there's a lot of bands that do that, and I know that the kids go crazy for that. That's the fans want to hear that stuff, but they were very receptive to what I was doing, and it was a nice big stage. MTech puts on such, I mean, they've got a big budget for that. It's a nice concert that they put on, and that was fun, and I'm hoping to incorporate that more in events. I mean, some of the events, like even this one, where I don't think people even expect there's going to be music. I think it's all part of the entertainment stuff. I mean, it's not as much with the connection of the comics, but anything that's involved with the anime stuff, yeah, there's music is always part of film, and it's always part of cartoons. It sets the mood for things. So why not, especially if voiceover actors or guests who might be artists also, oh, by the way, I play in a band. Why not entertain people when the in the evenings?
Check out any of the other music acts there.
I saw a little bit of Manpower. I saw a little bit of Proto Men, and I saw a little bit of, there's one other thing that I saw. I mean, some of those shows are special effects and all the stuff and the screens. It was funny when they asked me, what do I need? And I was like, just need drums, bass. I just need my amps and stuff like that. They're like, well, you don't need any Jumbotron stuff, and you're not going to sync anything up with video. And I'm like, no. That's not what I do. But those guys do that, and it's pretty impressive what kind of show that is. You know, giant drums banging on it. It's kind of like watching the anime version of Stomp, you know, and the makeup and stuff like that. And I'm actually doing something with the guys from Manpower. Cody runs a little club, Cafe Coco, in Nashville. He runs a 24-hour cafe where they do music, and he's doing a one-day sort of little one-off con just there. And I was like, sure, man, I'll show up, and I'll play some music, and we'll do some signings and stuff like that. And it was just kind of cool, because I met him at MTAC, and he is local, and it's nice that we sort of have bonded a little bit. So.
Hi. I love Pokemon.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if that one's not confirmed yet, but it's only because it's only a couple of months off. I know that they usually have to wait till they get everything organized. I know I'm doing one in I might be doing something in Louisville like this. I might be doing something in I get so confused because the names of them are so familiar. I mean, they're so similar that you're like, which what? And until I actually do enough of these things, then I can go like, I know exactly which one you're talking about. Yeah, if somebody's got, you know, if somebody's involved in organizing the stuff, and they think that, you know, I'd be a good guest, and it's not something that I've got to, you know, fly to, then yeah, you know, contact me and let me know, you know, what the details are, and if it works, that would be great. It would be great to be involved.
Okay, final words?
Yes, do what you love what you do.
All right, thank you very much. All right.